We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On a Sunday morning, Jesse Marshall of The Athletic will join me in 35 minutes. We'll talk hockey with Jesse as well as, well, you know, life in general, because on a morning like this, it's hard to ignore life in general and society. We got Jesse Washington of The Undefeated, senior writer for The Undefeated, our producer, Matty Ice, Matt Harkins, back in our Green Tree headquarters, dialing up Jesse right now, because there are, let's be honest, on a morning where society and sports can't really be untangled, there are plenty of important things to talk about, and you want to bring someone on with, I think, a really great perspective on how we push forward as a society and how it does intertwine with sports. I think Jesse is one of those people. Good morning, Jesse. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Appreciate you. Good morning.
I want to start with, you know, I started the show an hour ago talking about hope. Hope that this is the moment where somehow as a society we turn things in the right direction and we start to openly and honestly acknowledge what we haven't properly acknowledged in the past, systemic racism, a society where we haven't been able to properly right the wrongs in deaths of people from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and plenty more who came before them. But also understanding that if we move forward with rage and anger and fury and hate, we're going to push forward in an air of resentment that makes it very hard to find the hope and the positivity and the optimism that probably needs to guide our way forward. How do we reconcile all of the negative emotions, negative feelings that exist with the hope and positivity and the optimism that we need to move forward with?
Wow. You wasted no time getting to the big, big questions here on a Sunday morning. And there's so much in there to think about and to work through. It is extremely difficult. At its most basic level, I think that I would urge people to try to find patience within themselves. Patience. And that patience for the way that people are feeling and reacting. And if you look at someone, and I'm going to assume that the majority of the audience that we're talking to right now are white people. We live in Western Pennsylvania. It's a predominantly white area. I'm a black person who lives in a predominantly white area here in Western PA. And so the first thing I would really urge, if you're a white person who doesn't understand what you're seeing or feels some sort of way about the response to the injustice, is patience, in that you have to understand why we as black Americans feel anger and feel upset because nothing seems to change. And so although you may not feel those emotions of anger and wrath or despair, you have to feel patient with those who do. And then, you know, I think that the stuff that really gets in the way of a good conversation here is the violence that has been associated with some of these protests. And as someone who has been a black man in America for 50 years, and as somebody who has written and reported about these things for 30, the vast, vast majority of protesters are not interested in any violence. And when we get hung up talking about the violence that does occur, it's a distraction from solving the real problem. And yes, some of the protesters are engaging in that, but the majority of the people causing violence are not protesting systemic racism. They're just causing violence. And a lot of them are white people. And I'm not saying that white people are any better or worse than anyone else out there, but that is a fact. There is a segment of people in this society who are intent on causing chaos and look for an opportunity to do that. And right now, the way things are currently shaking out in America, a lot of those are young white kids. And so they're not protesting police equality, racism. So I think that the thing we have to do is have patience. I would encourage everybody, it's Sunday, so this is the day where we think about God, and whether you're going to church or your synagogue or your mosque or you're just trying to think about God there in your house, let's ask God for understanding. And then finally, I think that if we're really trying to hold on to hope and see hope in a really dark time, is think about what we can do for someone else. How can we help? You know, I live in Sewickley out here. It's a real nice area. I'm very fortunate to live here. And yesterday we had a very powerful moment in Sewickley where some white residents organized a protest. And they put some stuff out on social media and said at 12 o'clock we're all going to gather at the intersection in the center of town. And so a lot of people showed up. Now, if all the black people in Sewickley showed up, there might be 100 of us, if that. There were probably 500 people there at this rally. And then about halfway through, we decided to march over the Sewickley Bridge, which we all did together. And so that was a way to help. And so if you really want to seek some hope in this, do something. And the first thing that you can do is really demonstrate that you are on the right side of history here, and demonstrate by your actions and your words that. And it doesn't have to be a protest. It can be a conversation. It can be a word of support. It can be a donation to an organization that you feel is doing a good thing. But demonstrate your intent to change things. Demonstrate your knowledge and your belief that what happens to unarmed black people in this country far too often is wrong. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. We did that yesterday in Sewickley. It was peaceful. It was powerful. And it was an important thing.
That is powerful. Jesse Washington, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, with me here on 93.7 The Fan. From a societal perspective to a sports perspective, Jesse, there will undoubtedly, and we've already seen it in the last 24 to 48 hours in places like Minneapolis, Atlanta, Los Angeles, around the country, there will be an increased level of social activism from athletes. Do you anticipate that the American public is ready to accept that better than they have in the past?
I do, because, and again, you know, let's call it what it is. And this is, a lot of people get nervous and want to shut down when you start talking about race in very specific terms. And I hope that this is a reminder that we cannot do that anymore, and that if we care about our communities and we care about making things better, we have to listen when it happens. So, you've got a lot of white athletes who are heroes to people. I mean, we make athletes into heroes in this country, period, white, black, or otherwise. And so an interesting thing about sports is that it really is a place where, in the best circumstances, the races come together. And so in football, for example, which is religion out here in Western Pennsylvania, we've got a lot of white athletes who we really make into heroes. And across this country, there's a lot of white athletes who are made into heroes. And black athletes, too, but now we're talking about the white guys. And these white guys have a different and unique perspective on black Americans because they work with them, because they're teammates and brothers in the locker room. And to be quite honest, that's something that really doesn't happen a lot here in America. And, you know, I would urge folks who are listening now to just think about another thing we can do to try to solve this problem is to think about why things are as they are. So if you live in a community that's mostly white, if you really have very few black neighbors where you live, think about why that is. How did that happen? Was it an accident? And really it is not, because for most of the history in this country, we have been segregated either through specific laws or banking practices. Or even to this day, when there have been very accurate and scientific studies done that say black residents are steered away from living in most white neighborhoods. So if I go to look for a house, the real estate agent is not going to show me the house in particular neighborhoods. But however, these white athletes live with, work with, and have very deep relationships with their black teammates. And as a result, they understand them better. And now a lot of them, an unprecedented number of white athletes, are stepping out there saying, this is wrong. Things have to change. I'll just give one example of a white athlete this morning who some people out here might know, and he's a Western PA guy. And he's not famous, but he's embedded in the youth sports community. And this is a young man named Tom Droney. And Tom Droney was a great high school basketball player here at Sewickley Academy. He's from one of these towns here in Western PA. And he had a great career at Davidson College. He played professionally basketball overseas. And now he runs a youth sports organization, sending a whole lot of kids to college on basketball scholarships. And Tom Droney yesterday tweeted out, hey, all my fellow white people, it's time for us to really recognize what's going on. It's time for us to come out of the shadows. So when a guy like Tom Droney can do that, who's a white kid from Western PA, there were Steelers, and I don't want to call people out because yesterday there was a lot of people, sometimes these guys, I'll let them do their publicizing their actions. Some people like to just do it as a person and not as a professional athlete. There were a couple of white Steelers at the Sewickley protest yesterday. There have been a lot of football players who have put out messages like this has to stop. And it has a trickle-down effect. I'll shout out another little local kid around here. There's a young man who just graduated from Olsch High School. His name is Dante Spadafore. Really nice young basketball player, white kid. He was obviously influenced by all of the athletes who were putting out statements to put out his own statement on Twitter talking about racial injustice and how it has to stop. But now this is a teenager who has friends who's been awakened. So I think that sports is going to be, and the social activism for white athletes is really going to help make a change. And I think it's very important at this moment.
Jesse Washington is a senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated and has a very valuable perspective for how we push forward, given everything we've seen over the last few days, weeks, and let's be honest, forever here in America. It's not just George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. It's many other people who've come before them. Let's pivot, if we can, Jesse, from one really huge issue to another big societal issue that also ties in sports. And that is the idea of recreational sports in the post-COVID-19, and I guess we're not technically post-COVID-19 yet, and who knows when we will be, if ever. But as we move forward through the pandemic and out to the other side, we also recognize that whether it's youth sports or maybe even just a pickup basketball game with some friends, that recreational sports just aren't going to be the same. How is that going to affect us as a society as a whole? Because I think of the joy I had as a kid going to, for example, municipal courts in Baldwin and just running 5-on-5 with some friends or whoever came up there from the neighborhood to playing Little League baseball and the value that can have organized sports in every socioeconomic background. But how does this affect us moving forward where we're not quite sure how to approach these things?
Man, it is a big deal, and I have four kids ranging from age 12 to 20, and all of them play sports. And to take that away from a kid, it's tough because, number one, it's a health issue. It's an exercise issue. It is healthy for your body and your mind to get out and run around. It's healthy for my mind as a parent to get them out of my hair and get them out to run around. So, I think we're going to have to do it slowly and carefully and according to the science, and then people are going to have to make decisions about what they feel comfortable with as parents. And, also, I'm a basketball player, and anybody who knows me around here in Pittsburgh knows that you can see me anywhere hooping I made it my business to try to hoop with all of the best players around here. I try to keep up with them now, and a lot of them tolerate. So shout to all my basketball people. Dom Sliva, the pro from Montour, now he's playing overseas in France. My man Lance Jeter out there in Beaver Falls, another dude who I try to keep up with out here, and the list goes on. My son Coltrane Washington, my daughter Corinne Washington, all these are hoopers who I try to play with regularly. And so here in Sewickley, the courts are still open. And it has presented some real difficult calculations for this 50-year-old individual. When you see guys playing, am I going to play? Am I not going to play? Am I going to be putting my parents, you know, my elderly people who I love at risk if I go and get in this hoop game? I'm not commenting on the decisions I made right now. So I think that one thing that we have to think about is that now that we are slowly returning to some semblance of not being restricted to our homes, the situation as far as the virus that's out there has, and I'm not a scientist, and I would urge everybody to do some real legitimate research and talk to doctors. You know, everybody out here knows a doctor. Call your family doctor and say, hey, doc, how should I proceed given who I am and my age, my health, and all those kind of things. But we're basically in the same situation as we were before. The reason why we all stayed home was to slow down the virus and to prevent a healthcare catastrophe. And here in Western PA, at least, I think we have done that. And so now what? Because we don't have a vaccine. We don't have a way to fail-safe ourselves. So I think that people have to consult your medical professionals that you know or that you have at your disposal, and then take your own account, your own situation into account. Do I have older parents who I see all the time who I might, you know, because we can carry the virus without knowing it. That is a medical fact. And so what is our own situation? Can I invite, like, you know, something like baseball, having a catch or playing wiffle ball would probably be a safe activity for some kids, right? So Do I have a couple of, Do my son or daughter have one or two friends that we could go out and play some wiffle ball with? Can we throw the football around? I think we have to be real intentional about it. As parents who are involved in sports, a lot of us will spend tons of time and money to, you know, at a very young age for our kids to try to, you know, get them ahead. Well, now it's about keeping them healthy. So can we put that same energy into trying to choose safe and appropriately distant activities? There's a lot of things you can do on a basketball court, just shooting around, shooting games that you can play with three kids, four kids. So let's get them out there little by little until we can kind of get back to normal. That would be my recommendation. And then if you're a grown man who loves basketball like I do, you may or may not want to engage in some pickup basketball.
May or may not have already engaged in some pickup basketball. Jesse,
I cannot confirm or deny.
Jesse, I want to thank you. Again, your perspective, I think, is invaluable. As a 50-year-old African-American man here in Western Pennsylvania, you understand the dynamics of our community. I think both in the city, in the suburbs where I live, as a 40-year-old white guy, who has grown up with black friends and appreciates black culture. I thought what Jalen Rose had to say the other day was fantastic. I wish America loved black people as much as we love black culture. And I think, again, as a 40-year-old white man who tries to understand what it's like, and knowing I never fully can, who tries to understand what it's like for a black person in America, your perspective is invaluable. I thank you for giving me some time this morning. Your writing is excellent. Your reporting is always fantastic. And I appreciate the time this morning.
Well, I appreciate you, Chris. And I think that the way that you're dealing with these topics and the way that you're bringing it up is useful. It is helping move us forward. And so thank you for that, and keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate it.